Over the course of your life, God teaches you and causes you to grow in maturity. But the knowledge and experience God gives us are not just for you alone. In Psalms 77 and 78, you're urged to pass on to the next generation what God has done and what He's taught you. It helps those coming after you learn to think biblically and live wisely, just like you. Learn more in this lesson Stephen called A Chain Reaction of Truth.
Now, as we open Psalm 77 today, you'll notice the superscription, that's the heading at the very top of the psalm. It tells us that this is a psalm of Asaph. This is one of Israel's leading composers. We're also told here that the psalm was sung according to Jeduthun. Now, Jeduthun was an assistant music leader in David's time. We're told that over in 1 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 1. He evidently wrote the musical score for this psalm. Now, we don't know what that tune sounded like. I wish we did. But God didn't leave us the melody line in these musical scores, but He did leave us the inspired lyrics. Now, Psalm 77 is going to reflect on the mystery of God as God walks through history. His footsteps in the waves of the sea are mysterious and most often hidden. Asaph writes here, starting in verse 16, "The waters saw you, O God, the deeps also trembled. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. Your way was in the sea, and your paths in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known." You know, you could kind of paraphrase those final words, "Nobody saw you come or go." Yet the Lord's presence was evident. You know, it kind of reminds me of the first English novel entitled Robinson Crusoe, written by Daniel Defoe, as published way back in 1719. It's a novel about the adventures of a young man shipwrecked on an island near the coast of Venezuela. Before the ship completely breaks up, Robinson is able to salvage some tools and some supplies and a Bible. He soon figures out how to hunt for food and grow barley and rice, and he even makes pottery. He reads that Bible, and he eventually gives his heart and life to Jesus Christ. He keeps a journal of his adventures over the course of the next 28 years on this island. He records all sorts of dangers and hardships. Now, believing that he is all alone on this island, he's shocked one day to see a footprint in the sand. He's immediately terrified and somewhat mystified. He's evidently not alone after all. Now, eventually, he discovers a native who had escaped from cannibals. Robinson and this native become lifelong friends, and eventually they're both rescued and sail back to England together. Now, from a mysterious footprint to becoming his best friend, that's what I thought of when I read this psalm. That's the idea here with Asaph as he writes about God's mysterious footprints in the sands of time. Asaph writes here in the final verse that the Lord becomes a faithful shepherd, leading him, guiding him all along the way. He also went from that footprint to a best friend. Now, in the very next psalm, Psalm 78, Asaph wants the truth of what he's learned to be passed down to the next generation. Like Robinson Crusoe's journal that told of his adventures and the faithfulness of the Lord, well, Asaph doesn't want to keep all these adventures and the Lord's faithfulness a secret. So he writes here in verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." See, you get the idea of a chain reaction here. Our parents taught the glorious deeds of the Lord to us, and now we're going to teach them to our children. Asaph writes here in verse 6 of God's purpose in all of this. Listen, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. You see, this chain reaction is to continue and not break apart at any link in any generation. And this psalm is going to provide some clues on how to do that. Now, if you're married and you don't have any children, don't change the channel right now. The responsibility to influence the next generation belongs to us all. It's a commission of the church. Even if it's simply telling, by the way, that neighbor or that coworker, or maybe it's that fellow student you go to school with, the truth about the Lord. This is your commission from the Lord. Now, let me give you three priorities for all of us, and they're found here in Psalm 78. Priority number one is this. We need to help the next generation know who God is. Asaph makes this aim of instruction very clear here in verse 7, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. See, people can't place their hope in God unless they've seen the hand of God. In other words, the glorious works of the Lord, where? In creation and throughout history. Let's repeat that to the next generation. Priority number two, we need to teach the next generation to think biblically. He goes on to say here in verse 7, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Not only do children need to know who God is, they also need to know what God has said and what they know about God's word, about God's commandments, about his instructions for living. Well, they need to be encouraged to obey. One author writing on this text offered a pretty good reminder when he said, "The best education is education in the best things." You see, children don't just need a good education. They need an education in good things. And that has to include the truths of God's word. Now, you might be thinking that children don't think all that deeply about God or life in general. Oh, no. They got a lot of questions, and their questions just might surprise you. Through the years of my pastorate, our children's minister would often have the children in third through fifth grades write down questions each year that they want to have answered in the coming year. Here are some of those questions. How are God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit the same God? How do I handle the emotions of having someone in my family die? If the person I marry one day abuses me, can I get a divorce? If people live far away and never hear about Jesus, can they go to heaven? If God knew Satan was going to sin, why did God create him? Do angels have a free will? Did God create girl angels? Well, that question's easy. The answer is yes, there are girl angels. I know because I married one of them. Well, I'm just trying to make some points here. Let me tell you something. These young children are asking deep questions about God and his word. How about we make it a priority to teach them how to think biblically? Priority number three, we need to teach the next generation how to live wisely. Asaph writes here that biblical instruction is designed to do just that. He says here in verse 8, the next generation should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Now, Asaph is referring to his disobedient Israelite forefathers who rebelled against God. So let's remind those in our family, in our world, how to live wisely. And that means you're going to avoid wasting your life through disobedience to God's word. This is the chain reaction, by the way, described over in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. He tells Pastor Timothy, what you've heard from me, entrust that to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. We need to keep this chain reaction of truth going. Let's teach the next generation to know God, think biblically, and live wisely. I love the story about the kid who was fussing in church, and He wouldn't sit still. He was talking out loud. He dropped the hymnal. He dropped his crayons and started crying at one point. His father finally had enough and picked him up and put him on his shoulder and marched out of the sanctuary. And that boy knew he was in trouble now. Just before they got to the back doors, that kid hollered out, "Pray for me." Well, at least he learned the value of prayer. Well, let me tell you, here are the ultimate priorities for us today. And let's pray for these children. Let's also show them. Let's show the next generation that God is worth knowing, that God's word is worth learning, and God's will is worth obeying. Well, until our next journey, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
This important lesson from God's Word is called A Chain Reaction of Truth. Stephen Davey is taking you from Genesis through Revelation as he teaches through the Bible on this wisdom journey. If you're interested in going back and listening to past lessons, you'll find them at wisdomonline.org/journey. Visit there today, then join us next time as we continue traveling through God's Word on the wisdom journey.